One of the most pressing foreign policy decisions facing the Biden administration is its promise to re-enter the Iran nuclear deal, officially called the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, or JCPOA. But the Biden team is confronting obstacles restarting talks. Nick Schifrin introduces our revealing conversation today with Iran's top nuclear scientist.
The 2015 nuclear deal made a fundamental trade. The West relieved sanctions on Iran, and Iran froze its nuclear program. When the Trump administration withdrew, it reimposed sanctions. And Iran has exceeded some of the deal's nuclear limits and also restricted required inspections. The Biden administration and Europe have offered to negotiate with Iran, but Iran refuses until those sanctions are relieved. That is the context for our Reza Saya, who sat down for a rare interview with Iran's nuclear program head. Reza joins us from Tehran. Reza, first, the political context. The U.S. says it is waiting for Iran to suggest the next diplomatic steps. What's Iran saying?
Tehran is essentially saying, Washington, you're the one that pulled out of the nuclear deal. You're the one that undermined the agreement where five other countries were involved, a deal that took 2 years to hammer out. It's your move. The ball is in your court. Tehran is looking for some sanctions relief. It's important to point out that initially, during Donald Trump's maximum pressure campaign, Tehran was saying all sanctions must be lifted. Now they're clearly saying they'd be fine with a step-by-step process whereby Washington would ease some sanctions and then Iran would make a move. Even that hasn't resolved things, and that's why we're still in this stalemate.
And the U.S. says it won't make that first step yet. So that is the stalemate. That's the context for your interview. The head of the Atomic Energy Association of Iran, Ali Akbar Salehi, who is he and what did he say?
Yeah, he's Iran's nuclear chief, an important figure with Iran's leadership. He's been part of the leadership for a very long time, one of the supreme leader's most trusted advisors. When the nuclear deal was negotiated in 2013, 2014, he was very involved with the technical aspects. And like many Iranian leaders, he felt the bite and the impact of former President Donald Trump's maximum pressure campaign. You would think that he would be happy that Donald Trump is no longer the president, but that wasn't exactly the case.
My guess is when Mr. Joe Biden was elected president, it pleased you.
Do you read minds? I mean,
I'm guessing.
You guess.
Okay. Were you pleased when Mr. Biden was elected president?
This is not a matter of a personal matter of being pleased or not pleased. We look at what their really actions are.
But you saw Mr. Trump's actions, and my impression is you wanted someone else in office.
But so far that Mr. Biden has come, though he has promised to sort of come back to the JCPOA, but he has not yet delivered to that promise.
He has not delivered from your point of view, but Mr. Biden has said he wants to restore the deal and he wants to talk. Iran says we don't want to talk. Isn't this the opportunity that Iran was looking for?
The answer is that the one who has left the JCPOA has to come back first.
But the Biden administration is saying they don't want to negotiate the deal. They just want to discuss the mechanism, the sequencing with which both sides can restore the deal.
Why do we want to complicate the issue?
Because the issue is complicated. Why not talk?
It's not really complicated. We have already the deal, the JCPOA deal. It's a deal that was negotiated for over 2 years, and the U.S. administration at one time felt that they want to leave the deal. You are the one who has left the deal, and you have to come back to the deal, and then we sit on the table within the framework of the 5+1 and talk whatever issues that are deemed to be talked about.
While we're at this deadlock, Iran's nuclear program is increasingly active. You're enriching more uranium. You're using advanced centrifuges. You're restricting IAEA inspections. This is no longer about the nuclear deal and the needs of your country. You are clearly pressuring the Biden administration.
You see, this issue, the nuclear deal, as it's better to say the fabricated or manufactured issue of nuclear deal, Iranian nuclear deal. It is a technical issue, but it is politicized. So it seems we have to use political instruments to resolve. Answering your question, I would like to say that we have not restricted the IAEA inspections in Iran. But the other part of the voluntary agreement that we had committed ourselves within the JCPOA, and that was the additional protocol, those we have put aside.
Part of the additional protocol was cameras. There's cameras monitoring.
The cameras are still there.
Cameras are still there.
Yes. Those will keep on recording whatever they want to record, but the IA will not have access to the information for up to 3 months. If the JCPOA is back, they will be given the information.
And if not, you said you're going to trash them.
Yes.
And with trashing them, are you not trashing verification and transparency? Is that not what you'd be doing?
It's easy to resolve the issue. Come back to the JCPOA and not let this happen.
Iran is piling up enriched uranium. I think you're up to 3,000 kilograms around there, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, it depends how you measure it. If you measure it in pure uranium, it's about 2,500 kilograms, to the best of my latest information.
And you plan on moving forward with enriched uranium. If there's a deal, if the deal
then everything stops, we go back to what we were...
What do you do with the excess enriched uranium?
Then we can settle that. We can sell it. We can turn it into something that would be of mutual agreement, like into fuel.
Last month, the IAEA said it verified the presence of 3.6 grams of uranium metal at a plant in Esfahan. Can you explain why uranium metal was produced in Esfahan?
They are looking for new fuel, okay, that would increase the efficiency of the reactor. They have sort of propagated this in such a way as if we are producing metal in larger scale for the purpose of keeping the metal.
For the core of a nuclear bomb. That's what your critics are saying.
Yeah, the metal has many uses.
Right.
One use is non-peaceful uses, that we agree, but it has other peaceful uses.
Accusations that Iran is secretly building a bomb have persisted. They're still there. Your government, the supreme leader, has always said this is a peaceful nuclear program. They've said nuclear bombs are haram. But many argue that nuclear deterrence is effective. The superpowers have it. Israel has a program, many believe, that it hasn't been declared. Is there anyone within the government that says, let's discuss it? Let's discuss the possible benefits of a bomb?
No, you see, the final wording on this is by the Supreme Leader. Once the Supreme Leader has issued a fatwa, that fatwa is not only a religious fatwa, but it is something, a decree.
And that means there's not even a discussion.
There's not a meeting that says,
there's no room for discussion. No one can say, for our security.
It's not that no one can say, you can speak your mind. I mean, you can speak whatever you wish. But in reality, when it comes to action, you know, we do what the fatwa says. We do what the decree says.
Are there people within the government and the leadership who think it's a good idea to go after a bomb?
There may be.
I don't know. But you don't know. You haven't heard of it. What makes a nuclear bomb haram and long-range missiles not haram?
Long-range missiles, you hit the places that you wish to hit. But, you know, nuclear bomb, as it was used in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, you know, inflicted harm on innocent people. 200,000 lives were evaporated in matters of seconds.
Mr. Mohsen Fakhrizadeh, he was your colleague, one of Iran's leading scientists. He was assassinated. Does it make you question Iran's security structure? Like, how could this happen on your soil?
This is not a very complicated issue. If you want to kill somebody, they can always hire some people to kill somebody. And
your government accuse Israel of carrying out the assassination.
Certainly it is Israel, yes, with the support of the United States.
Something they both deny or haven't commented on. Do you worry about your own safety?
I don't worry about it, because we believe in destiny. Destiny is in the hands of God. Eventually we have to die, sooner or later. Okay, you die as a martyr, so much the better.
Fascinating interview. That was special correspondent Reza Saya in Tehran.